Houston City government took a lot of the councils. We have a lot of international, you know, relations here because of the oil and gas. And so he went, he goes, oh my gosh, fried Oreos. Those are the best thing. I said, oh, we are corrupting our brothers from Equatorial Guinea with fried Oreos. Of all the things we could send back to EG, that's...
Yeah, that's right. Diabetes.
That's
you're
gonna
welcome.
Be it. Did I screw that up?
And you can get Listen Up for only
$14.99. So yeah, we did go to the rodeo in Houston. For people who don't know, it's rodeo month.
Yeah.
3 weeks.
Season.
Rodeo season. Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. And, you know, they have livestock show and rodeo and concerts. That's the only thing that's not in the title, self-explanatory.
That's right.
So, yeah, you know, some people go, like, every day. Some people have tickets and go every day.
That's crazy to me, right?
It is crazy. But it's a thing. Yeah. A lot of people serve on committees. We have... You know, Joseph and Sarah serve on committees, parade committees, and lots of volunteers. It's mostly all done by volunteers, and it's huge, massive.
It is.
And there's also, so you have rodeo every week, you know, every day. There's rodeo competitions, and people are qualifying to get into the weekend, which pays more. You can get, like, qualify for the big, or you can be wild carded in kind of stuff. It's got all the typical rodeo, calf wrangling, team calf wrangling, bronc riding, bareback, saddle bronc, cattle riding. Sound like the Forrest Gump. Fried shrimp. Fried shrimp. Shrimp gumbo. Shrimp etouffee. All sorts of cowboys. Then they have chuck wagon races, and they have mutton busting, which if people don't know mutton busting, where they take a little kid, put him on the back of a sheep, he runs across the field.
What could go wrong?
He falls off, gets kicked in the head, cries on the...
You know the root system of that started in our church?
Mutton busting?
Yeah. Ryan Smith and some of his cohort started
I didn't know that.
A number of years ago.
Then they have a big stage they put out, and there's a different artist. Uh-huh. And we've had people through the years like Garth Brooks or Clint Black or, you know, country, rock.
Leonard Skinner.
Jelly Roll. 50 Cent was there.
Drake.
I heard Drake.
My son went to Drake, who was...
He went?
Mm-hmm.
So I went two nights back to back. The first night I sat on the very front row.
Hell.
Got dirt all in my hair when the chuck wagons were racing coming by. The horse
spraying
was,
you.
The horse is literally like you're up against the gate and the horse is on the other side and they just walk by and they just like poop right in front of you and it smells like a farm.
Like a
rodeo should smell. Yeah, so there's that. And that first night I went, it was Nickelback.
Nickelback.
Yeah. I'm glad that you know a Nickelback song because I have no idea. I mean, I've heard of Nickelback.
Yeah.
And I know that some people really love Nickelback.
And a lot of people.
And the concert was one of the top three turnout.
Wow.
They've been around since the 90s. I just don't know but like one or two songs they sing. And the rodeo, it's not a full deal concert. It's usually an hour to an hour and a half between that. So you get kind of their greatest hits. They don't play like, hey, here's all the stuff from our new album.
Here's our new album from 1982.
And so they played all their greatest hits and three or four songs in. I still didn't know what they were. Yeah, so I left. I was like, yeah, I'm not doing this. Then the next night we went and we actually got to sit up in a suite, which is very nice, and watch the rodeo again. And then Zac Brown Band. Who I really like. That was really good.
Yeah.
That was really good. And it fits more of a rodeo feel.
Yeah. Yeah. More rodeo crowd or typical.
So, yeah, rodeo goes on and then it winds down about this time of the year. Sunday was the last day of the rodeo. It's the week before Palm Sunday. It shuts down, which is good because now we're coming into Holy Week. You know, we're through spring break. It's a good time for it to shut down.
Yeah. There's kids all across the state.
Did you go?
I didn't. I did. My son did.
Oh.
But when we lived in Lubbock, Texas, all these kids in, you know, FAH.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would like.
FFA.
Like, FFA.
Yeah.
That would have like, you know, they would be, have cows and.
Yeah. You raise like kids do the calf wrangling. And if they catch a calf and tie it up and bring it back in the box, then they get a certificate for a steer or a heifer that they get to.
Raise
themselves through school. There's a lot of that in schools. And then they get to show it at the rodeo whenever, and then they sell it, and somebody like Matt, who's on a meat diet, buys it.
Thank you, children.
And says, hey, thanks for raising this, this nice prime beef for me. So
organic,
I can continue in my diet, in my meat diet. So yeah, it was fun. I mean, it's good. But now we're heading into Holy Week. Mm. Well, so when this is going to come out on Friday, it'll be maybe a day or two before Palm Sunday, and we'll be entering into Holy Week. And so what I thought we'd talk about a little bit this week and next week are some Lenten Holy Week kind of themes.
Yeah.
But the one I wanted to start with as we lead into Holy Week, so people can kind of get ready, is this whole idea of a prayerful practice of focusing on a crucifix.
Yeah, so
sounds really exciting. I can tell when you just did that, you were like, you, "Oh my gosh, John, that sounds so exciting."
The prayerful practice
of focusing
on a crucifix.
On a crucifix. Do you know what a crucifix is, right?
I do. It's the little man on the cross.
Well, you were paying attention this morning at Stafford.
Well, I mean, also I dated a Catholic girl for a while.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. You have to podcast another podcast.
So, so crucifix, for those who may not know, you know, we have a cross, and for Protestants, it's typically empty. For Catholics and the Orthodox faith, it's Jesus hanging on the cross, dying on the cross.
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes we Protestants like to bejewel it.
We turn it into jewelry.
Really bedazzle.
Yeah,
the cross.
I mean, the cross becomes an accessory for our already blessed and good life.
That's right. Sold at Bucky's for $19.99.
Yeah. Cross wall is very popular too.
Uh-huh.
Cross walls in people's homes. You don't usually see Jesus hanging on those.
No.
Cross walls.
No.
Yeah, that is a big thing. You're it all is. Right about that. Mm-hmm. I have a cross at my home office in my home study. That is made out of old reclaimed materials from an old barn that was torn down.
In Georgia or someplace like that?
Yeah, in the country side of Georgia. So it's all old barn pieces. The wood, the barbed wire, the metal. And so it's kind of like a cross created from things that have died, which is kind of the point of this spiritual practice. Yeah. Of meditating or focusing on crucifix. So I came across a lady named Ruth Haley Barton, who blogs and is a spiritual director. And you can find her at transformingcenter.org. She writes a lot of stuff. But she talked about leading a retreat years ago and was leading those who were there through this whole dark night of the soul, the wilderness, movement from false self to true self, a lot of the Merton and contemplative spirituality. But there's a profound kind of death and dying that has to take place in order for something truer to emerge. And in the break, she was talking about there were several young pastors who were there in their 20s and early 30s. So this was right up your alley, Jeff.
Hipsters.
Yeah, cool. The cool kids. So they were at these hip and happening churches, growing, everything was positive and good. And she said, I don't remember exactly how the conversation went, but it was basically like, does everyone have to go through this kind of death and dying? Yeah. How can we do ministry in such a way that we don't have to pass through such a dark night?
Is there a death bypass? That's what I want to know, John.
And if we can't take the shortcut, is there any way, or if we can't avoid it, then they ask, is there any way we can speed up the process so we can get through it more quickly and get it behind us?
Yeah.
What they were really asking was, isn't there any way that we can be good enough not to have to die? That's kind of the question.
That is a deeply Western question, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think...
Maybe just human.
Youthful...
Yes.
Also, youthful, aspirational, depending upon kind of your own ability to do your own things.
Can we speed the dying up, please?
Yes.
Get to the other side. How about
and so
just
what
be
she,
numb? Is there an epidural for that, please?
So what she shared with them, which she said, I don't think it's the answer they wanted or were looking for, is they said, you know, even Jesus had to die in order for the will of God to come forth in his life. And if Jesus had to go through it, I don't think that any of the rest of us are going to get away yeah. without it.
Didn't Jesus say something similar to that in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount? What they did to me, they're probably going to do to you.
Oh, yeah.
We don't like to read that or remember that too much.
You know, Thomas Merton also says, and I don't remember which one, that it's in our suffering in life that we most deeply connect to Jesus.
Yeah.
Because it's the one thing that we share in our humanity the most deeply.
That's really good.
And yet, so we don't, so as most Protestant Christians, we don't think a lot about Jesus dying on the cross. We don't want to spend a lot of time on that. We want to get to Easter, right? And I've noticed this in recent days. Have you seen some of these newer, like hipper churches or big churches? They start their Easter services like on Thursday night, like Maundy Thursday.
Yeah, like the Have Super Bowl. But yeah. Maundy Thursday is now not Maundy Thursday, right?
Well, these churches probably don't even recognize Maundy
Thursday.
Like, what
is Monday?
Yeah,
they just misspelled Monday.
Wait, I thought it was Thursday.
Wait, is it? Who's on first?
Hey, spelled it wrong. Yeah, so I think they start, like I've seen these churches that they start their Easter service Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, so that they can get more people through, I guess, or whatever. But they just bypass right through, like, the suffering and the death part. It goes, got to go, do not pass go. No, it'd be go directly straight to Dale. Yeah. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Yeah. We're going to get straight to the resurrection.
Yeah.
Because that's what we want.
Yeah. And I think there's a theology behind that that says, he did that for you, so you don't have to go through that. Like there's kind of a way of like configuring a spirituality of Jesus that allows us to think that that's actually the normative case, that Jesus did all that suffering so that I can skate through it, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So for those who are listening, and for those who you may share this with someone who may need to hear this word, I think it's good for all of us to go through Holy Week in a very somber and solemn way, and to not rush to Easter.
Yeah.
You know, we already try to do Lent to prepare you, but not a lot of people really engage in Lent.
Sign up for that wilderness.
Exactly.
That's right.
With a rodeo going on.
The rodeo.
When you got fried ding-dongs in your face, it's hard to really suffer, isn't it?
one of the young guys that's been coming to Chapelwood, J.R. Esono. Have you met JR?
I don't know.
He is the deputy consul for Equatorial Guinea here in Houston.
Okay.
His uncle is the president of Equatorial Guinea.
Dear Lord.
He went to the rodeo for all the Houston city government took a lot of the consuls. We have a lot of international, you know, relations here because of the oil and gas. And so he went, he goes, oh my gosh, fried Oreos. Those are the best thing. I said, oh, we are corrupting our brothers from Equatorial Guinea with fried Oreos. Of all the things we could send back to EG, that's...
Yeah, that's right. Diabetes.
That's
going to
be it. But Holy Week is really about all of us journeying through the rhythm of death, burial, and resurrection. It's one of the reasons why we have, you know, from Palm Sunday... You know, it's kind of this celebration of Jesus coming in to Jerusalem, but at the same time, we recognize that's the beginning of the week. It's sort of, they don't really get what entering into his kingdom means, what it's going to mean for him, right?
Right.
They misunderstand. And by the end of the week, they're clamoring to have him crucified.
Right.
And so going through this process of, I think it's for Christians, it should be the most important week of the year, where we all make sure we're at Palm Sunday. We all make sure we're going through these special concerts or these worship services, Maundy Thursday worship, Good Friday worship, journey through that.
Yes.
Because it's not a rhythm that we willingly choose any other time of the year other time in our life.
That's right. That's right. That's right. It's like showing up to a movie and watching the final kind of, you know, victory scene and not realizing what everything, all the characters, what everything, all the pain and stuff. Yeah. It's really our story too, isn't it? And I think that you've said this a couple of years ago, you won't get Easter if you don't walk through Holy Week, you know, you won't understand, you know, what it means to be human, I think, at the end. And I think most of us, Most of the people I know live between Good Friday and Holy Saturday most of their lives.
Yeah. You know? And that's exactly one of the things that came up is that, you know, we don't willingly choose or even know how to choose this rhythm of death, burial, resurrection. It's usually thrust upon us.
Right.
You know.
That's right.
Because life falls apart.
Yeah.
And so there's something about, as Christian practice, kind of going through this as a rhythm, intentionally forcing ourselves to confront that mortality.
Yeah.
Right? Keep our death before us. That then can prepare us when a diagnosis comes or when our life falls apart or when our job is taken away, you know, we lose our job or we lose a child, you know, or we lose a parent or whatever it is that we
realize we're not in control.
Yeah. And if we've never done any work before that to kind of choose to connect to that, then, you know, then sometimes we go through that in very unhealthy ways.
Yeah.
And then God's the enemy. We hate God. We're angry at God.
Yeah.
You know, because we just don't understand, why should anything bad happen to me? I'm not a bad person.
Right.
At least, right, I'm not as bad as most people.
No.
So, Richard Rohr, who we all really like, well, I say we all are in this room.
Yeah.
We really
yeah.
Me. He says, we all find endless disguises and excuses to avoid letting go of what really needs to die for our own spiritual growth. It is always our beloved passing self that has to be let go of. Jesus surely had a dozen good reasons why he should not have had to die so young, so unsuccessful at that point. And he was the Son of God, besides. It's always we, in our youth, in our beauty, in our power, in our overprotectedness, that must be handed over. It is really about passing over to the next level of faith and life.
Yes.
And that never happens without some kind of dying to the previous levels. And so one of the practices is to, and I plan to do this next week. Right now, my screensaver on my phone is just rotating pictures of my grandson, Henry. But I'm going to take that picture I shared this morning, which is an old icon, a crucifix icon, so that I can just spend some time reflecting on that throughout the week, that holy rhythm of our faith, death, burial, and resurrection, and let Jesus's passion, you know, hand us into or invite us into the events that week. And you think about the events, you know, Mary comes and prepares Jesus for burial, anoints his feet, Jesus' final teaching about the cost of discipleship, the tenderness of the Last Supper, the pain of betrayal, Jesus handing himself over to his enemies in the Garden of Gethsemane, the journey to the cross, the stations of the cross, you know, the despair of Holy Saturday and the joy of Resurrection Sunday. And that's what I think is important, to be invited into the holy rhythm of death. That's invited to gaze upon the image of the crucified, to be invited into the holy rhythm of our faith, death, burial, and resurrection. As C.S. Lewis said, nothing that has not died will be resurrected.
Ouch. Right?
Yeah. He was a smart guy.
I wonder if, a lot of times I think, at least in modern life, that our idea of spirituality is really just a pain avoidance management system, and that we employ our spirituality, like you had said, to keep us protected and away from pain. But really what we're discovering is it's the integration of that. It's like accepting, as they say in some of the programs, that you accept life on life terms, you know?
Yeah.
And one of the questions I've been asking myself over this season is, what ways am I living that are no longer serving me? Right? What, in a sense, with the question you're asking, what needs to die? Like, how am I living, and what ways are my choices, I'm making choices that are no longer serving what may be a deeper purpose that God might have in my life? You know? Mm-hmm. And that's a hard, like you're saying, that's a hard thing to put in front of us, you know, because then I have to face, in a sense, the mirror of my life to say, oh, really, what I'd rather be numb than alive, you know, or surrendered.
Yeah.
And that's...
Well, I think that's a good word maybe to end on, is when we're talking about going through the rhythm of suffering, death, and resurrection, yes, we're talking about meditating on and thinking about our own mortality, our own death. Mm. But I think even more so that makes the difference in life is what meditating on the things that you need to die to in this life
100%.
So that you can live and be resurrected in relationships, in your vocation, in yourself, in your own faith.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Which is what you're talking about.
Yeah. Because if C.S. Lewis is right, then that's the, like, I need to look at the things like that I'm not going to live forever, that we're,
If you're only doing it about like your, this life, like my life and my death, then it kind of becomes like the old, you know,
YOLO.
Baptist, the old kind of like, hey, it's your faith is your fire insurance. As long as you got that worked out.
Yeah, but we're good.
That doesn't have anything to do with Jesus saying, hey, I didn't just come to give you life. I came to give you abundant life.
Right.
In the here and the now.
Right.
This is your opportunity to live in the kingdom of heaven here now.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to die to some things to get them out of the way.
Yeah.
So I would encourage folks to, if you haven't subscribed to the podcast, make sure you subscribe, like, share. That's always good stuff to do.
Mm-hmm.
It helps whether you watch this on YouTube or on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. I don't know where else it is. I mean, it's just out there.
John,
it's out
there. We're worldwide.
We're worldwide.
Yeah.
Do you know, I looked up some metric, and I think we're really hot in Vietnam.
Crushing it.
Yeah.
In Southeast Asia.
Yeah, I don't know why. Well, bots, maybe? I don't know.
This recently popped off. This is the first time we've been back together since this reaction video.
Yeah. Yes.
But it's 1.7 million views shown in 2.4 million feeds. It has like... I don't know. 40,000
Look at us
likes.
In the millions. It was, really wasn't us. It was really Pete Holmes. Just so we get
we
right.
You know, 500 what? Subscribers from it, which is cool, to our YouTube.
There we go.
I don't know how many comments, but I mean, there's more than you could possibly even.
Are they all
are
nice?
Are they even flattering?
No,
they all just like you tools.
Social media.
Them, this comment has 4,000 likes on it, so the engagement on this was just through the roof. The heads at the top and the bottom added great value to this, which I thought was pretty
Thank
funny.
You. Thank you. Hey, and 612 people like that.
I know. As an atheist, the way he set up for that ending was brilliantly done. So there's some positive comments, but there's a lot of atheist conversation.
We're crushing it with the atheist show.
Oh, hey, who knew? Who knew we do so well with the atheist?
And we said nothing. Lord, I love that.
Yeah, I think that's what I love. We didn't say anything. It was just our face, like, reacting.
Yeah, just reacting.
I think the only word we said was nothing.
Nothing. Which there's something to that.
Well, this is good. Anything else, Jeff?
I'm going to have a couple reaction videos, but we can look at them for next week.
Let's do some next week, too. Yeah, let's save them. Week. Yeah, that's good.
Perfect.
All right, well, I'm John Stevens.
I'm Matt Russell.
And this is Pod Have Mercy.